welcome to this edition of Quest Point in the Mix. I'm your host, Richard Andrews. You know, it's always a pleasure to meet people like Ann Volin, who along with her partner, Cheryl Cohen, are the co-founders of Green Zebra, which publishes the Green Zebra Guide, a book that offers healthy and organic living information at green retailers with coupons, incentives, and discounts for residents of San Francisco, the Peninsula, and Marin County. The Green Zebra Guide is also an excellent fundraising tool. Recently, they opened the Green Zebra Environmental Action Center, located in the Crocker Galleria at 50 Post Street in San Francisco. There you can learn how to live more sustainably and save money, too. The staff is knowledgeable about a wide range of environmental topics, including helping you to discover the solar capacity of your roof and to show you how to have a solar system installed with no money down while actually lowering your cost. At the Green Zebra Environmental Action Center, you can also discover ways to save money by collecting rainwater in a barrel and using it to water your garden. The Action Center even offers simple instructions for constructing your own rain barrel if you don't mind investing a little time. There you can also find out which less toxic products and techniques will help you keep pests under control in your garden and at home. You can view instructional videos or let the staff help you navigate through online resources including solar and carbon footprint calculators. You can take home informational brochures and wallet guides that will arm you with information, all the information you need to make healthier choices about the planet when it comes to the types of seafood you consume. You know, Green Zebra is also the winner of the San Francisco Bay Guardians Best of the Bay. They were also a 2008 winner of Actera Most Sustainable Earth. Anne is a mother of two with an MBA in finance, and her and Cheryl started Green Zebra on their green journey back in 2007 because they were seeking a more meaningful difference in the world around them. Once again, Anne, welcome, and tell me, what went into your decision to change your career back in 2007?
Well, thanks, first of all, Richard, for having me on the show. That's pretty close to the truth, but really, I had been out of the workplace for about 10 years. I moved from L.A. up to San Francisco. My husband and I thought the prospect of raising kids in L.A. would be a real challenge, and he was a Cal grad and was dying to get back to the Bay Area. And I had been, out of the traditional workplace for quite a while. I was very involved in both of my kids' school lives. I had helped out in the classroom and also run the auction at their public school, Claire Lilienthal, here in San Francisco. So I'd been kind of using all those MBA techniques and the knowledge that I had learned in school to do things like figure out how to raise our net profits from the auction from, you know, $65,000 to over $100,000 the first year I took over. But I, you know, as the kids got a little bit older, I felt as though I wasn't quite so needed. And really, it wasn't so much that I made a conscious decision about wanting to do something meaningful in life, but really the creation of Green Zebra came out of my personal journey of discovery. I was certainly not an expert about green, but I figured, you know, if I've got all these questions, there must be a lot of other people out there like me who want to live greener, but, you know, our lives are busy. It's hard to figure out what to do. It can be confusing. So I think a lot of people just kind of tend to give up rather than spending the time to figure out what they can do to make a difference. So our concept was really just how can we make it fun and easy for people to live in a more sustainable way. We did the research and learned ourselves what we could do. We wanted to share that with others. And when people talk about climate change, it can be very doom and gloom and very depressing, and a lot of people being made to feel guilty about what they're not doing. But our philosophy was more, let's just take baby steps in the right direction, and hopefully that'll all add up to make a difference.
You know, it's interesting. You made the comment about, you know, the research and, you know, the journey that you were on, and that seems to be something that's consistent in the people that I talk to about, you know, their green journey or their interest in wanting to do something more meaningful, that they just begin the process of researching and seeking information about this field and about this movement.
The thing about it is, these issues are all complicated, and there often isn't just a one answer, yes or no, do this, don't do that. There are often trade-offs, but there are some things that we know definitely make sense and can make a difference. So that was our idea, just to make it easier for people. I mean, for example, the front of the book has about 20 articles with practical tips. Part of this is philosophy and statistics to kind of make a point, but more than that, it's about action items, letting people know that if they bring their own bag to, you know, if everyone brought their own bags to the grocery store, what that could mean in terms of saving trees or the plastic bags that end up in our water. You know, just simple things. Often, a lot of the people who discover this book or kind of start embarking on a more sustainable path are new parents, because, you know, they're suddenly faced with the prospect that even if I'm not going to be around to enjoy this planet in another century, you know, my kids are. And that often gets them questioning, you know, maybe we should only be eating organic produce, even if it is a little more expensive. And we found that, you know, when you think about people at a turning point in their life, you know, when all of a sudden you've been used to being on your own and now you're taking a baby with you everywhere you go, that's a good time to make some lifestyle changes. Get used to, you know, you're bringing food for your baby, so why not get used to bringing your own reusable water bottle or bringing a coffee cup. You know, in San Francisco, we're fortunate that we have this, well, now mandatory compost ordinance. You think, well, you know, these cups are compostable, but still, whenever you can reuse rather than dispose of something, even if it is compostable, that's a better alternative.
Well, what I like about the guide and what I like about your philosophy is that you're offering practical things that everyone can implement in their daily lives, and I think that's pretty terrific.
It is, and you know, the truth is, we are so fortunate living in the Bay Area. We're not recreating the wheel here. We're just pointing out to local residents that there are options that already exist. And our emphasis, it is on green, but it's also on local independent businesses and kind of those that give back to the community, because there have been, you know, I know my quality of life would be impacted if I didn't have a local independent bookstore in my neighborhood, but instead only had a chain store, for example. I used to purchase a lot of books online in the middle of the night when it was convenient for me to do that. And I realized, you know, I would go into the bookstores and do my research, and I realized, you know, before I started Green Zebra, actually, that these bookstores weren't going to survive, and if they didn't, that would really have a negative impact on my life. So I said, you know what? So it's a little bit more expensive to support, patronize these local businesses sometimes, but it's really worth it, because they give back so much more to the community and to the quality of life of the individuals that live in those neighborhoods. So we really, local is something that we consider, you know, part of the green movement.
Speaking about local, I know that I met you at an event here in San Francisco, a green event. And I'm curious, what was Green Zebra doing at that event? I'm curious about that.
Well, if I recall, we met at Green Drinks, which is a monthly kind of social networking event that brings together a lot of people who work in various aspects of the green. You know, we've never engaged in traditional advertising. So every day I meet people who have never heard of Green Zebra, and you know, we're a really small company, and we're self-funded, so we don't have a huge marketing budget. And we find that the green world is such a collaborative one that we really make an effort to get out there and meet other people who are working toward. Because our book can be used as a fundraiser, it's a great, you know, it's part of this whole creative collaboration. We find lots of ways. If you don't have deep pockets, which we don't, and many other players in the green space share characteristic, then you really need to be creative about how you can work with others and get the word out. So we do a lot of, you know, going out and meeting other people. And actually, now that we have you came by an art show that we were hosting in our new retail space. So
exactly.
That's been a wonderful opportunity for us to you know, provide value to other organizations that may not have space. One of our sponsors is Crocker Galleria, and they had a retail that was not being used, and very generously invited Green Zebra to come in and start making those educational resources available to the public, so that, you know, someone's just in the financial district and has some environmental questions, they can swing by. And as you discussed, we've got a lot of resources on hand, flyers as well as online resources. But we don't always know the answers to all the questions, but we usually at least know the people that do. So we really welcome people swinging by and just coming.
That's a very nice space, by the way.
It is. It is. We've got about, I think it's about 1,800 square feet, and you know, we try to do a lot of different kinds of events there. We just are wrapping up all of the artworks were made out of found objects.
Was that scrap?
Yes, yeah. That was the scrap show, which half of it was displayed in the lobby of the Department of the Environment over on Grove Street across from the main public library.
Right, okay.
And the other half was in our space. So we did the opening night event, and they did the closing.
There was some really nice art there. Very interesting work.
Yeah, and
there.
It's, you know, it's fun if we're hosting more informational meetings. It's still a wonderful backdrop to have artwork in there. And we've actually just brought on who's really going to be focusing on taking more advantage of this space and hosting a lot more events. The farmers market goes on Thursdays there at Crocker Galleria. So that's a day we have a lot of foot traffic because of all the people
going
to that wonderful farmers market. And so we've started doing some more frequent brown bag lunches. In fact, on February 4th, Thursday, we are doing an event where we'll have a speaker from Global Exchange, Adrian Fitch Frankel, who is their expert on the fair trade cocoa. And she's going to talk, we thought with February, you know, and all the chocolates and everything, that it was a good subject. We're actually doing a special this month. If you buy your Green Zebra out of our retail space at Crocker Galleria, you get a free fair trade chocolate bar.
You're going to have a lot of people there.
Exactly. A $5 chocolate bar and dark chocolate, either with quinoa or almonds or just their dark velvet chocolate that doesn't have any other ingredients in it. And basically, that traditional chocolate is often made with slave labor and child labor. So again, fair trade products do cost a little bit more, but the idea that you're not supporting slavery and you know, that you're actually supporting a living wage, whether, you know, coffee or chocolate or grains, you know, I think if people think a little more about if buying their products is exploiting people, they wouldn't want to, you know, that it's worth spending a little.
You touched on this a little earlier, and I thought it's worth kind of, you know, circling back to and repeating a little bit. You're involved with so many activities. You know, why do you stay so involved, and what keeps you on the go?
I think, well, you know, now that I don't have any time for formal exercise, I'm always the kind of person who has kept busy, and I have a lot of interests. So, you know, I coach both my kids' soccer teams, and really, it's not that all, you know, based in altruism. It's enjoyable for me. I'm a really social person. I enjoy meeting new people. I enjoy learning things, and you know, that has been one of the real silver linings of this business, which ended up being much more challenging than we ever anticipated when we started out. But you know, the kind of, I never thought about how much personal satisfaction I would get out of the relationships that I've made with people in the Greens. For life to be enjoyable, you have to keep learning.
That's absolutely.
Every day that goes by. And I do. I learn something every day. And, right. and I enjoy, you know, spreading that knowledge to other people.
And I find that there's so many people in and around the green space, the green movement. And as you mentioned earlier, it is so many aspects and elements to it. But there is a consciousness that people are curious and want to be committed to the idea of lifelong learning. And so I think that there are a lot of people in and around us that believe that and actually.
Absolutely, and it is such a, I mean, this sounds a little silly, but the people really are, in general, good people who do want to make a difference and are trying to make the world a better place. And I think it's hard not to get excited when you meet you know, other bright, motivated people that are trying to make a difference. It's such a sector. And I had actually worked in Hollywood, which really I enjoyed the creative side of things, but in terms of the personal interactions, it was a very different dynamic.
Oh, yeah.
than the,
or can be, yeah,
environmental
certainly.
World.
Yeah. I was wondering if you could, you know, we talked a little bit earlier about some of the fun aspects of the guide of the book, of the Green Zebra Guide book, and I was wondering if you could explain some of the fundraising and corporate services that the guide can be, ways that the guide can be used, and if you could talk about some of the recent projects that the guides were used in, or one or two of the projects that the guides
sure.
were used in.
Well, basically, because, as I mentioned, my background was helping out at my children's school, I was very sensitive and aware of how difficult it, I mean, first of all, what a great need there is for local nonprofits and schools, and certainly, you know, even in the 4 years, we printed our first book in the fall of 2006. Mm. So even in that time with the recession, you know, there's so much need out there. So we wanted to make this a fundraiser that was absolutely risk-free with no downside whatsoever. So that's what we set out to do. And basically, any school or nonprofit that has an event coming up or has opportunities where they're interacting with the public and could sell the guide, we are happy to provide them with books on consignment. So we give them the book, you know, and then once their sales season is over, we settle up. They return any unsold guides. There's no obligation, no minimum. So, and we even, to make it easy for them to not have to collect sales tax, we pay the sales tax on behalf of them as well. So the book is sold for $25. But we net out of that amount the sales tax, and we remit it on their behalf.
I see.
And then they keep $10 of every $25 sale. So there's the way, you know, to do it at events. There's also like a direct sales method, which is similar to what, if you're familiar with this, there's a traditional fundraising product called the Entertainment Guide.
Yes.
Where, you know, a sample guide goes out with each representative. They can show it around and then take orders, which are then full. I recommend that if you have a small group that's highly motivated, like, you know, 20 kids in seventh grade who are trying to raise money to go to Costa Rica, something like that.
You don't
want to send out 700 of them to people that aren't
really
on board, because it's just too much administration and hard work to track you know, all the order taking and make sure the samples come back. But there have been some smaller groups that have had, you know, great success this way. Soccer teams where, you know, 100 books, something like that. So the nice thing about the product also is that it's priced at $25. You can so easily earn back that investment, you know, with just one or two or maybe three of the Green Zebra passes inside it. You know, some of the grocery stores, depending on how large your bill is, you can save that whole amount in one trip to the grocery store.
Okay.
So, and it's
the Green Zebra Pass. What? Tell me about that.
Well, we just call it, I mean, we don't like the C word so much, because our book is, you know, it appeals to a more upscale audience. So it's called a Green Zebra Pass.
Pass. Excuse me. I meant to say pause.
And the truth is, you know, with the recession and everything, I don't know that there's anyone out there that doesn't appreciate a deal these days.
Oh, sure. Oh, yeah.
So, but the other thing is, more than just the value, a lot of people view them as more of a resource or a directory of green products and services. So some people, you know, there's a lot of information in there. We give each company a whole page between the pass, which is the part that you you know, you rip off and present to the vendor, and then the stub remains in the book, which has room for the company to describe, you know, why they belong in this book. You know, talks about because there are a lot of very green businesses. It tends the ones that actually are so hard on themselves. They think they're not doing enough, so they're very reticent to toot their own horns. So this kind of is a place where they can talk about some of the initiatives that they may be doing behind the scenes that consumers may have no idea about. And so it's really, you know, are so hard on themselves. They think they're not doing enough, so they're very reticent to toot their own horns. So this are so hard on them. We have mixed feelings about this whole, using paper. We are a certified green business with the city, and we print on 100% post-consumer recycled paper, post-consumer waste, which, you know, it's more expensive to do business that way, but we still sometimes feel guilty about the, you know, the fact that we do use paper.
Right.
Even recycled paper is a resource that
some trees sacrifice for that.
Exactly. Right. But the bottom line is, in terms of it being an educational resource, there is so much you can learn from a book that you aren't going to find in a web search, because that can be so focused. You know, in a book you may learn things that you didn't realize you wanted to learn.
Right.
Slipping through, particularly when it comes to things like, you know, learning about these businesses. We have an index by neighborhood so that people can see, you know, what participants are located near, where they live or work.
Okay.
And then you know, so in addition to the articles, really they can learn about what these businesses are, either in terms of the product and service they provide or just in terms of the way they conduct their business. You know, a lot of the public schools, but also local private schools, and even high school environmental clubs, it's you know, from preschools to high schools.
Okay.
There are, you know, we have dozens of local participants that we, you know, we'll deliver books to them if they have an event coming up. Oh, the other thing I was telling you, in addition to the direct sales and then the discount, we also supply a web banner for any of our fundraising partners. You know, I mean, it really depends on how many volunteers and how much help, how much they want to do in terms of making an effort and
promoting
administration of the program. But, you know, for those that don't have enough volunteers to actually do sales at an event, or that they may not get traffic coming into the office, for example, for a nonprofit. They may do a lot of work out in the field. So by having a web banner, they can send out an email to their email list or just post this banner on their website. And if anybody clicks through, it takes them directly to our website. And if they make a purchase, we still give them $10 of the purchase price. And in that case, you know, we're handling all of the administration and the fulfillment. We're the ones that are actually shipping the books out to whoever has ordered them. But, you know, part of our mission is certainly to benefit other like-minded organizations. So we've raised over $60,000 for local groups since we started. That's not even counting this year.
Excellent. You know, we talked the other day, and you'd mentioned a service that you'd been involved in, and it stuck with me, and I hope you don't mind me bringing it back up, because I thought it was an interesting service, and that was a mobile service that you had been involved in. And
you know, it's interesting because my business partner's background is in telecom. She actually founded and then sold a telecom company up in Vancouver before we embarked on this project. So she's the techie. I shouldn't be talking about the technological aspects of this. One application that has huge potential and is already achieving some success is transmitting coupons via mobile phones.
And right.
When you think about it, the only complaint, you know, people love our book. The only complaint we ever hear about it is that they don't always have it with them when they need it. I encourage people to pull out the passes that they know they intend to use and stick them in their wallet, so if they're at that grocery store, they're prepared. But you don't always have the book with you. And so the nice thing about mobile, people always have their mobile phones with them. So the concept would be, particularly with people who have smartphones, that rather than having the physical book or in addition to it, they could, you know, nearby restaurants that had an offer in it. And the truth is, a lot of these, the participants that are in our guide, you know, although all of the passes in our book are single-use passes, but many of them wouldn't mind people coming in multiple times to redeem something, as long as it means that business is coming to their door.
It's got traffic.
Yeah, exactly. So so what we've done kind of as a pilot program, I know last year at Earth Day, we had some events where we would have people text us, and we would text them back an offer onto their phone, which they could then, I think we were doing this at a restaurant down on the peninsula, and also we had an offer at Pacific Catch, the really wonderful sustainable seafood restaurant that has two locations in San Francisco, one in the Marina District,
Pacific Catch,
and the other is over, I think, around 9th and Irving, and they also have one in, but so... So basically, we would just be able to send an offer directly as a text message to people's cell phones. So that we can do already, and we're more kind of deciding whether there will be another physical book next year or whether we really want to move the whole move the book onto a mobile platform. I mean, a lot of people said, "Why don't you make online printable coupons?" And to us, that felt even more wasteful, the idea of printing out a full page of paper for a coupon. You know, if it's inconvenient to bring the book along or a small the coupon, are you really going to want to print out an 8.5 by 11 page and drag that with you? So we said, let's just leapfrog online. I mean, that can be a part of it, too. That's pretty easy to implement. But go straight to mobile, where people can send offers to their phones. And, you know, the technology exists already. You can, both for iPhones and for other sorts of smartphones, where you actually can redeem and, you know, create so it's only a single-use coupon that people can redeem through their phone. But the idea of it being, you know, an online directory way to search, seek out offers that are near you or near kind of Yelp-like in terms
exactly.
of... Exactly. But then have the savings there, too.
Sure.
We think there's huge potential. But the truth is... You know, these are already very popular in Japan and other parts of Europe. I think the way the U.S. carriers function has made it more challenging to
have
these sorts of programs working in the States. But they are starting to happen already. And, you know, Cheryl's been talking about this for 4 years. And we also felt that the public wasn't quite ready for it. But certainly, as you see what's happened with the iPhone, technology and saving money is always going to be popular.
Oh yeah, well that's why when you mentioned it to me, I was all over it just because I thought that it just has such potential. But I mean, who says both things can't exist together? And
Absolutely.
You know, I think the fact that you are already contemplating and already have these things in motion is a good thing. And,
yes, we've invested a great deal of time and effort into technology. It's hard to know, you know, always which way to go. We've also been approached by several other players who have a system set up already who are interested in just having us provide some content to them. So typical small entrepreneurship, we're always putting out fires. It's a little harder to look down the road.
Well, you know, I was interested in knowing, since you... and Cheryl were kind of there before so many people were in terms of understanding green meant, and even before you know, most people even had a sense of what that was about. Can you talk about how you've seen the green space change or the green movement change since you first started Green Zebra? And by the way, this name Green Zebra, talk to me. What is that? What is that? That's so good.
I'll
that's so cool.
That first, A green zebra actually is an heirloom tomato that Alice Waters popularized in the 80s. And you may have seen them at farmers markets. They're those kind of green, a little bit yellowish, stripy tomatoes. So we actually had, it isn't just about the animal, but we knew when we started out that we were going to be selling the book as a fundraiser for schools. And we thought, you know, we had started meeting people in the green world and found that so many of their names all blended together in our minds. We wanted something that people would remember.
Right.
So, you know, we like the Z and zebras. You know, it's easy to remember, but the green zebra actually does have a, you know, horticultural and kind of in terms of farmers market and like organic production. We actually this year for the first time kind of the element of the tomato back into some of our marketing materials because, you know, you're not the only one that doesn't know what a green zebra is.
Well, I'm on the same, you know, mission, but the same journey, too, and learning, you know, my whole getting my green thing on. You know what I mean? So
absolutely.
It's,
so we wanted a name that had green in it. And the truth is, you know, there was a very practical challenge of getting a name that we could get a copyright on and a website and all that stuff, too. So we tossed around a few ideas that that were not available, and you know, it took us several months between the two of us to come up with narrowing down the options and settling on Green Zebra. And I'm happy to say that we actually still like the name, you know, four plus years later. So I think we made a good choice.
Well, I mean, have you done any contest on this name at all? I mean, like I just see, you know, kids wanting to write rap songs about it.
I love that question, because the funniest thing is, the only person I know who's ever come up with a song is me.
Oh.
But there's a song there's a tune that I really like, that Green Zebra fit very easily into this tune. But you've given me a terrific idea, because every month we do a contest. We send out a monthly email newsletter, and we do a contest. And I thought, well, you know, in the era of YouTube, like, we should have a contest where we ask people to sing videotape themselves.
Hello.
Song they make about Green Zebra.
It's so catchy. Yeah.
But so far, no. I'm actually feeling a little slighted. I haven't been sent, you know, love sonnets about Green Zebra.
Oh.
So,
okay.
We'll have to, you asked me about something before.
Oh, talking about the movement. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, what's one data point I like to point out is that we launched our first book in the fall of 2006, and this was just a few months after the initial theatrical release of An Inconvenient Truth.
Oh, okay.
So the funny thing is, when we made our first book, the tagline that we used under Green Zebra was "Local Savings for Natural Living," and our tagline is now "Local Savings for Sustainable Living," but at the time, nobody really used the word sustainable or even knew what it meant.
Exactly, yeah.
So you think about that, like, it's just been incredible how the awareness has changed in the last 4 years. I mean, I didn't think of myself as this, you know, pioneer, and certainly there have been people, you know, working tirelessly since the 70s promoting a lot of actions that we've just kind of jumped on the bandwagon in the last few years. But it's quite phenomenal in terms of awareness. But what I would have to say is that action does tend to lag. We published our first edition, you know, there was still pretty hot debate as to whether this whole climate change thing was valid.
Whether it existed, right?
I think we've all come to the conclusion that no matter what the Bush administration had to say, that yes, there is pretty irrefutable scientific data. The bottom line is, our society is pretty spoiled, and we don't like having to, you know, be asked to make sacrifices. I mean, I think at some point in the future, people's lifestyles will be changing, because it simply won't be an option anymore. You asked before about our corporate program as well. You know, some companies that are very traditional companies that are not involved in the green space certainly are now very interested in engaging their employees and finding ways to green their operations. So I think it really has kind of sunk in. You know, it's such a universal concern and something that interests.
Everybody wants to green up, you know?
Exactly. And I mean, thank heaven they do, you know? It's certainly a valid concern, and one that we should all be, you know, putting some time into. You know, there's also always going to be greenwashing, but the fact that that people are talking about this is only going to make
exactly.
You know? And I'm not wants to beat up successful companies for what they're not doing, but I try to just, you know, encourage them, even if they're doing something. And again, if they get positive feedback from the shareholders or from the general public, I think that's what's going to make them become more committed, jump in with 2 feet after they just dip a toe in to see how it works out.
Exactly. Well, that's interesting, the point that you made about the word natural living versus now the word sustainability. It's interesting how this has progressed, and who knows 3 years, 5 years from now, what this will evolve to, or what where it will take us. But I think you're very insightful to point that out. That's something I hadn't really thought about.
And to get back to it, you were asking about the corporate program. So basically, we make the book available, you know, in bulk at our wholesale rate of $15 and lower depending on volume, so that the businesses that are represented in our book, I'm very picky about who's in there, and you know, we we're not in a position to do extensive due diligence. We do rely often on their self-reporting as to the way they run their business and that sort of thing. And third party, you know, when they've been achieved a status, certain certifications from third parties, that obviously is helpful to us because we are such a small company. We can't do due diligence on all these businesses. But when it comes to companies that are interested in purchasing our books, whether it's as an employee incentive, you know, there are more and more green teams being formed by corporations, and you know, a lot of that's coming internally from employees who say, you know, we want to, you know, we're willing to do the work to help make our business function. And so the book, you know, we think at that price point of between $10 and $15 is kind of giveaway, whether it's to employees or to customers. You know, we had a lot of real estate agents that give the book out as a holiday gift or a, you know, Earth Day gift, Happy New Year, because the truth is, you know, who out there now isn't interested in living more sustainably? So a gift that's so reasonably priced but provides so much value and education on a topic that's, you know, of interest to almost everyone on the planet.
Absolutely. Well, that's interesting, too, because you were talking about, there are now positions in larger, medium to larger size companies there. There's a sustainability manager or a sustainability director, and there are conferences springing up all over the country around the issue of sustainability.
You also, when you're asking about how the green movement has changed, I just think about some of the things even in San Francisco. You know, the Bay Area is such a leader in the green world, and I was personally surprised and delighted when they passed the universal composting ordinance, which made it the law as of this past October 21st that both individuals and businesses separate out their organic waste so that that could be sent not to landfill but to be composted and reused. It's a pretty amazing system we have in the Bay Area, where San Francisco's green bins, the contents are collected and sent up to the North Bay, and it's turned into very rich soil, which is then purchased by the vineyards and the farmers up there, and kind of closing this loop. Those vegetables and bottles of wine are coming back into the city at the farmers markets or in the restaurants. And, you know, before they passed that law, about 30% of what was in the black garbage bins could have been put into the green bins. But I love that the mayor and the board of supervisors and the city decided, rather than making this optional, which, I mean, it's been terrific to have the option of separating out your organic waste. And that's not just fruit and vegetables. It's fish bones and skin from, you know, it's meat products as well as vegetation. But, you know, corn cobs and all sorts of things like that, that you know, they said, okay, not enough people are doing this on a volunteer basis, so we're now going to make it the law. And, you know, consumers aren't going to be penalized for not following course. But basically, the Department of the Environment really does want to provide the education. They want to help people. You know, there is still confusion as to what goes where. We have an article in our book about exactly what goes into the compost bin. But people are confused. It's not that anyone doesn't want to do it. They just, they're just lazy and confused. So this is just one more little impetus to get them on board and doing the right thing.
Where do you see your organization heading at this juncture? You've done so many great things, and you're so connected throughout the city. It's pretty remarkable.
It is. As I said, we don't often think far in advance in terms of strategy. We're so busy just kind of living day to day. But I definitely feel, well, I don't want to lose the educational component of the book, but I do think that some sort of transferring it onto a mobile platform does make a lot of sense. The other thing that I really want to focus on is to use this space that we've been so generously given. I'm not sure that, you know, that may not, we think it's pretty safe for the end of this year and maybe longer, but Crocker Gallery just got their gold LEED certification.
Okay.
The building does, you know, is doing a lot, and they really are on board with the green thing. So they love the idea that that it's a place where people can come to get answers to their environmental questions. But we really want to be doing more events in our space. And again, the events are just another way to reach out.
Connect with people, yeah.
Yes, engage people, you know, help them learn what else they can do and meet other people, because I think, you know, when you've got so many people working towards similar goals by joining forces, it only makes it more powerful. We've never believed in recreating the wheel or duplicating effort, and there tends to be so much of that in business in general. And we just think it makes sense for people to communicate and share best practices. So we want to help. I mean, I guess we're in a very unique position because we do have relationships with the government agencies and big companies, and then the little mom and pops and the nonprofits, the schools, consumers, and the media. So we have such a great opportunity to be a connector, and we're constantly making introductions between people that we can't believe haven't already met each other. So I think Cheryl and I, our natural social tendencies, as well as, you know, kind of our work background in business development, we're always envisioning how we can create relationships that
add value to the community. Well, listen, I'm just really delighted to be able to spend this time with you, and I'm wondering, are there any other things that you would like to share with us?
I think we did a great job of covering most of the bases. I just wanted to let everybody know that we do a monthly newsletter. You can sign up for that, and you can also come to our website to look. You can sign up for that, and we'll have a sustainability tip, as well as highlight some of the businesses that are in our book and kind of a different sample itinerary. You know, part of it's just to remind the people who own the guide to use, you know, getting that. We only send about one email out a month, but it's a good reminder if people have forgotten about the book that they should make sure to be, you know, using those passes. You know, sometimes people tend to procrastinate, and then in November and December they're like, oh, I got to use all these. So by sending the monthly reminders, it's, you know, and even if people don't own the guide, it's a good, you know, it's a great source of ideas. So our website is thegreenzebra.org. We have information there about fundraising as well as about corporate sales, and, you know, we welcome anyone to contact us if they're interested in hosting events at the space that seem aligned with our mission or have artwork they'd like to display. So just putting it out there that we're all about the creative collaboration, and give us a call. Our number is 415-346-2361. And really hope people will stop by the Environmental Action Center or give us a call if they have questions.
Well, there you have it, Ann Volin of Green Zebra on Quest Point in the Mix.